Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to get to some of the D'Amico Ryan stuff. Tyler, it's my last day here. Clint, I think I'm gonna go a little Tyler Milner. I'm gonna get a little Tyler Milner tonight.
Gonna get horny?
Well, that doesn't. Horny is not just all Tyler Milner.
That's fair.
But having a little late, having a few pops, and a few pops during the work week. I'm gonna have a few pops during the work week.
I'm drunk, I guess.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead. Yeah, I might get there.
Attaboy. I like that out of you.
Yeah, you know, meeting the best friend coming up here after the show. On the Country Club Plaza, go have us some drinks, and we'll see what we can get into on a Monday night. Monday night used to be a real strong night for us. Used to be a real strong night.
I think once you hit 40, that changes.
35, 32, yep. Yeah. Once you have children.
Hey, I'm telling you, boy, there's some, boy, them old Monday nights.
Monday nights.
I remember in Dallas, man, it was Tuesday nights.
We had a Tuesday night, too.
Now, Tuesday was our off day, so Monday is when we went hard, but it was hard to find a good time. Tuesday night, hey, man, start to finish, boy, I had you. Now, Wednesday practice might be a little rough.
Yeah, but you had it. Yeah, Monday we used to go to this place called Saints, baby. They had these 25-cent something. I can't remember. But
here
was,
we go, Tyler. You see what it revolved around, don't you?
It's 25. Oh, man.
Where yeah, them that was a deals?
I mean they were basically giving away drinks. So hey, well, Ron yeah. loved
you
it.
You think I'm tight now at 41? What do you think I was?
Now that's a fair point.
I think I was at 26.
Hey, Ryan said, you think I'm tight now that I have no reason to be? What do you think I was when I had plenty of reason to be tight?
Text line said, there goes Show's weight check this week. No, man, it may just, I've been banging, doing a good, tequila and water.
I see it, man. Hey, get you a good tequila. If anything, if it's not a real good one, which I don't know if you want to spend that, get you just a decent one. The splash of soda, two lives.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
over. It's
I ain't
over.
Tried this. I ain't tried to splash of soda. I'm not big, but I do a little sparkling water. Give me a little sparkling water.
Here's the deal. I mean, either way, it's the splash is what's key, right? So you still get the tequila. But the problem is the more you spend on the tequila, the less you need that, which you know. I'm not getting it. Yeah. I'm just giving it to the people. The more you spend on the tequila, the less you need the splash right there. But if you're going to go like I've always been a big Casamigos fan, but that's I'm mixing that right. I'm mixing that up. So if you got to go Casamigos, I got to at least get a splash.
Yeah,
I got to get a splash in two lines.
I'm with you. I stopped when my wife and her friends crashed our boys' night on Saturday. That's another story. But I stopped one of her friends from getting whales. I said, ma'am, you no,
don't do it.
I did, and I don't care if I overstepped. I said, no.
She's protecting her from a headache.
She's going to get makers. Please. I said, come on now. You're a counselor. You're 45 years old.
You can't be drinking that Taka vodka.
I said, y'all been sitting here letting her drink this Kentucky Tavern? Are you kidding me?
Oh, God.
God, stop. Stop. Yeah. By the way, if you reach that point where you will stop somebody from getting well, I am. I know I'm tight. And I will stop. Now, I didn't pay for it, but I'm tight, and I will stop somebody from getting whales. I don't know.
Oh, it's a great conversation piece. I mean, it's a great starter.
Yeah, I did. I did say it, you know, in my voice. Are you kidding me?
you said you had a little more respect in what actually came out, but in your own mind.
That's a Clint. Are you kidding me? I did say, are you kidding me?
You're 45 years old drinking whale tequila?
Come on now. You're better than this. I've dined in your home. Wait till I tell your husband about you in here getting. And he's a big whiskey drinker. This is a man's got a collection. And she's up here going Kentucky Tavern. All right, I'm sorry. D'Amico Ryan said this.
I will tell on you, woman.
I will. I did. This is D'Amico Ryan's talking about his offense and where they are right now after today's practice.
In the same vein as I said for the defense, our offense is getting better. That's training camp. I talk about it all the time. I'm not just throwing out a term, but when I talk about iron sharpening iron, if everybody brings their best every single day, we will all get better. We're still one team. We're going to go out and compete against another team. We are making each other better here. Our offense is making our defense better. Defense is making our offense better. And that's what training camp is all about. So I'm very, excited to see where our guys are. And really, I'm excited to see them go play against someone else. It's becoming that time of camp where it starts to get a little chippy. Guys are tired of going against each other, so I'll be excited. When the end of the week comes and we're able to go against Minnesota.
All right, he's spoken about this the last couple of days as well, that the offense is getting better, Clint. And we heard from Seth, from Sean, DJ Bieniemy, Jason Alexander, all of the people who were there and covering the Texans, that that today was, hell, DJ said, is one of the worst starts that the offense has had since they've had training camp. But he says they're getting better, even though this is not a visual thing that we're seeing from a product perspective. Clint, where do you think he is meaning for that?
Well, I think this is one of those coach speak things that we're going to get. Now, I'm not saying there's not a lot of truth to it. It's kind of like, picking your best five offensive linemen. Yeah, that's true, but ideally that would be a center, two guards, and two tackles, not just a mumbo-jumbo bunch of, just mix and match group. Withstanding, going out there every day, getting your ass kicked, staying focused on installing and not wanting to fight, not wanting to do more than you can do, and not, not getting distracted and then not losing your focus and still coming back. And is there some value in that? Sure. But I've said from the jump of training camp, for me, this is the biggest, the most difficult thing for D'Amico Ryans to accomplish this camp is to provide everything he needs to for this defense that's super aggressive, that's super multiple, that's super physical, allow them everything that they need to remain that all the way through training camp and get better and learn the system, everything they need throughout training camp, while also allowing your offense, who the roster's not near as good, you're dependent on younger players, you've overhauled the offensive line. For the first time, you're giving your quarterback more power at the line of scrimmage. You got a new offensive coordinator, so the terminology is completely different. How does D'Amico Ryans juggle those two things? And it, as I said from the jump, it is going to be unbelievably frustrating for the offense. And I think you're seeing that. I think you're seeing C.J. Stroud being faced with something he's never faced before. He's got to go to battle every day with lesser than. And it's never been that way. It's never been that way for C.J. Stroud. And he is going to battle every day knowing he's got to damn near be perfect. Knowing that they got to get more out of Nico and more out of Dalton Schultz. And he's got certain guys that have to step up because the margin of error is slim to none, because you are playing an uphill battle. You don't have the same guys that the defense has. And how does he handle that? Does he show the frustration? How many times has Sean Pendergast, as you said, it's one thing for me to walk in here and go, hey, man, CJ struggled today. It's another thing when Sean Pendergast says, hey, man, CJ hadn't looked good.
Sean is trying, and I'm not, again, as I said earlier, not trying to throw shade. I think our visuals are different, right? I don't really have a dog in the fight, so I just there's no real emotion in it. There's emotion for it with Sean, and Sean, I think, comes in it with a look of trying to get optimistic. I think that's maybe the starting point. I think Tyler is probably in that vein too. Now Tyler will just lose it, but. And when Sean comes in with that optimistic viewpoint, like I think a lot of our listeners have, And he comes back and he says, CJ. Now, I do wonder, Clint, is he saying that's due to CJ himself not playing well, or is that the stuff all around it? Maybe it's a little bit of both. But that to me is something as well when Sean just point blank says that.
Yeah, well, when you know, because where I was going with it was like I'm watching CJ's every move, right? I'm watching his footwork. I'm watching, is he anchoring down? Is he flushing too early? Is he throwing across his body? Is he throwing into traffic? Is he throwing a route versus a certain coverage that quarterbacks have no business throwing? And I know it's a bad, even if the guy catches it, I know it's the wrong read. It's not going to, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be an interception. Like, I'm watching in that level of depth. I think there's a 30,000-foot view with Sean watching it to where he even goes, something just a little off. Something's frustrating.
Yeah.
So it's not good. It just hasn't been good. And I only say that to say that is where we are. That's fine week one, right? You get 2 weeks into it. You get a third week into it. I'm not saying the world's going to come to an end, but damn, it's hard on a guy like CJ.
Yeah.
You know, it is hard on a guy like CJ. So what does D'Amico do? Do you put the twos in and do less ones versus ones? Do you call the dogs off and stay real vanilla? You know, how do you manage that if you're D'Amico Ryans? Do you just say, to hell with it? It'll all take care of itself when we start scout teamwork, when the regular season starts and we start scout teamwork. It'll all take care of itself. I don't know. I find it hard to believe that D'Amico truly looks at what's going on in practice and sees the offense being overwhelmed and goes, "Yep, we're all getting better."
Well, unless it's just more of a they're gaining an understanding of the system better, like the install is going and it, well, and it's getting better.
There's a chance too, Ron. As I said before, like the run game. I don't know how anybody watches the way these guys practice right now in 2025, even with full pads on. I don't know how anybody watches from the angle that we are sitting at and goes, "Yeah, man, this run game just ain't quite gonna get it done." You know, you can't see.
Yeah, you don't know.
You have no idea. Did Nick Chubb miss that cutback? Right? Was Nick Chubb patient enough? And the O-line should have kicked the guy out. Instead, he did. Like, it was it there? And we just looked like he got bottled up. Like we don't know that, so I gotta believe, and that's why I leaned into D'Amico Ryan's comments about the tight ends. Is like the one thing I can't tell is if in the run game, down in, down out, they're actually getting movement. If they're sticking their head in there, if they're willing to be more physical, like that is, those are real possibilities, right? It doesn't all hinge on pass protecting against Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson, but in the big scheme of things, that's what we see the most of from the sideline where we're watching.